And we are recording again. It is still 9:28.
That was fast. Thank you.
We'll do a quick roll call just to make sure. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Cornwall?
Present.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
My apologies, I skipped Mr. Greer and Mr. Barton. Let me back up for a second. Mr. Greer? Mr. Barton? Mr. Greer and Mr. Barton are still absent. Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepius. We are simply missing Mr. Greer and Mr. Barton. All others are present. Dr. King?
Thank you. So we are now on board agenda item number 5, consent agenda. And reviewing consent agenda items, are there any that any of the board members would like to pull for further discussion before taking a vote?
I'd like to pull item 1, Austin Barton.
So let the record show that we'll pull Austin Barton from the approval of the consent agenda for further discussion. Any others that you'd like to pull for discussion? Okay, hearing none, I move that we approve the items in the consent agenda with the exception of item A1, Austin Barton.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to approve all items in the consent agenda. 5A, 5B, and 5C, with the exception of 5A1, Austin Barton. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Mr. Leone, would you like to discuss Austin Barton's application?
Yeah, my only concern really was that this happened pretty recently, and the court proceedings actually don't even come up until June 15th, is what he mentioned in his statement. So I'm just a little bit concerned with that. Typically when I see a lot of these, it's things that happened years prior, before people even, were in their professional position. He definitely expresses a lot of remorse for the situation, that occurred. I'm just not sure if there's some sort of, action that the board should take in regard to this, with, especially with him being in that professional position.
Well, Giovanni,
this clinical
Veronica, 1 second. Can I just check to see if Austin Barton is present on the call?
Sure.
Mr. Barton, are you present on the call, Mr. Austin Barton?
And I believe he actually stated in his in an email that today is he's in clinical rotation. It's his final clinical
rotation.
Okay.
And I did let him know that it is possible the board would see that his proceedings were in June and would consider approval of testing and then maybe table it to bring it back with the finalized report from the courts or what have you.
And that's kind of where my mindset is right now is, should there be something in place potentially where before he's approved for licensure, we kind of see what results from the proceedings.
Yeah, Giovanni, I share your concern with the egregiousness of this particular situation for this applicant and the recency of it. And that it sounds like it's still in court proceedings, and we don't know necessarily what the outcome is going to be for that. Yeah. So I'm a little bit hesitant to actually approve his request to take the exam until we know more about the outcome of from his actions.
So Giovanni, I'm not sure. I know he stated on his narration that it happened and that it was suspended on the 24th of 2022, but the incident was December of 2021.
Yeah, so just okay. a few months
right.
ago.
So I was just making sure.
Yeah, not less than 6 months ago.
Perfect.
The other question that I had, and I really would actually like to speak with him, to be honest with you, because he mentions in there several times he's taken steps, but he doesn't really define those steps. What steps has he taken? It's easy to say I've taken steps, but really exactly what have you done? I don't know. I'm not sure that tabling it or denying it and having him reapply, I'm not sure which way I would go. I would entertain.
Well, I agree with everybody what they've said so far. I'm very troubled by this fact. We don't see these so soon, you know, and so close to his graduation date. Mm-hmm. In any other situation, I might say, well, you know what? If he's already licensed, I would say, okay, I think we need to see if he gets an evaluation for if he's got addiction problems, or we look at the possibility of a summary suspension. I think this is extremely serious, and mm-hmm. for him to do this 3 months ago, and though he's sorry, he thinks he can just go forward without any implications. I would say we just need to deny it. He'll come back, okay, mm-hmm. and maybe he'll come back right away, or maybe he'll wait until his court case is finished. In that case, we can talk to him. If he's got some type of substance abuse issue, we need to kind of find out what it is. And the reason I think that's a possibility is that he's looking so close to graduation, yet he does something so stupid. So.
Yeah, I would agree with everyone so far. Even if he's on clinical rotation, they make exceptions all the time for different personal issues or medical issues or whatever. He could have taken a couple of hours off to have attended the board meeting today. So I don't feel that that's a reasonable excuse for missing this meeting. And so I'm inclined to deny as well.
Do you want to make that a motion?
I move that we deny Austin Barton's application pending his meeting with us prior to taking the MPT.
Second.
Dr. King, members of the board, if I could just ask for kind of a clarification of the motion. Is the motion to deny his application for licensure, or is it just not to approve it at this time, allowing him to still sit for the exam and then bring it back to the board requesting his appearance before you make a final determination on his application?
I guess that's the struggle, right? It's going to be easier for him to take and pass the examination close to graduation as opposed to pushing that out. I'm not opposed to him actually taking the examination, but I am opposed to a formal licensure.
Which if you tabled it, we wouldn't be able to license them until we came back to the board with all the documentation from the hearing and so forth.
So
for clarification, if you table it, does that mean he cannot take the exam?
If you approve it with the exception that he has brought back, yes, he can take the exam.
No, I think that would be a mistake. Because he wants to take the exam early, which means if he passes, he can be licensed immediately upon graduation. And I think that there's some issues here, and so I think we got to deny it and let him reapply and take the exam a little at a later date. He can still get licensed eventually, but I don't want to open up a door where he can start working fairly quick.
Dr. Cornwall?
And I think denial is an easy way to do it.
He cannot get licensed as soon as he passes the national, just for your own benefit. He doesn't get licensed automatically right after the national. He still has yet to take and pass the Arizona law as well.
Well, and Dr. King, members of the board, and Dr. Cornwall, just to be clear, if you don't approve his application today, at some point in time, it would need to come back to you. So he would not be able to, even if he passed the exam, you still would retain the ability to deny his application for licensure if you didn't believe he met all of the minimum requirements, one of which is being of good moral character, which this incident may call into question for you. So again, maybe it's just semantics, but I just want to be clear, are we denying his application as a PT, or are we just saying we're not going to approve your application at this time? We'll allow you to sit for the exam, but before we issue you a license, this matter is going to come before us for that determination, and we would like to, you know, have you present so that we can ask you questions.
That was more my thought process when I initially looked at this, is I don't have a problem with them sitting to take the exam, and I kind of feel the same way, you know, Dr. King was stating, is, you know, it's a little bit easier, obviously, to, you know, take the exam when you're fresh out of school as opposed to waiting several months down the road. But I just don't want us to, you know, put ourselves in a position where he can take the exam and then immediately, you know, be licensed and start working, which it doesn't sound like that's something that can happen.
I think we ought to we vote not to approve his ability to take the exam, which means he doesn't take it early. He will graduate and then he can take it at another time. Okay. And I think it's cleaner, so that we don't have to worry about dealing with it later. He can, I don't think we ought to give him the advantage of passing the exam easier because he's so close to being still in school. He has not earned the right to take it early. And if I was the program director, I would not sign off on him. Okay. If he had not passed all of his clinical rotations up to that point, he wouldn't have been approved, or he shouldn't have been approved. I think this is just another example, is that we don't approve his request to take the exam early.
Dr. Cromwell, I'm in agreement with you. I had lots of opportunities to sign. It is a privilege to take the exam early. There are some very strict criteria that allows a student to take the exam early. And it goes beyond your grades and it's good standing in the school. So I agree with you that I think this is taking advantage of being able to take it early when he's clearly got a good moral character challenge here that really needs to be addressed before he takes that exam.
You've swayed the record, Dr. Cornwall.
Pardon?
You have swayed me.
I
didn't realize that that the program directors had to sign off on their ability to
and they have on Mr. Barton. They have we did receive a program director's letter from AT student.
And so You were program director. Did you come up against people who had issues with good moral character or other issues?
We rarely knew about them.
Right, that's what I mean. So.
And so I think his program director probably didn't know that he had a DUI.
Right. Fair enough.
So as a program director, I looked at it as how well they did on their classwork and their internships.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I almost never had information about their personal life and what they did outside of school.
I had a smaller program than Dr. Cornwall, but always asked, will there be an answer to yes and any of the good moral character questions? And let's talk about those first before we send this allegation in.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have a discussion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did have that thought as I was reading everything on here is, you know, especially when I saw the issue with making it to the meeting today because of a clinical rotation, does the clinical rotation even know that this occurred? You know, and does the school know that this occurred? So, I would agree with you, Dr. Cornwall. You've also swayed me.
So I move that we deny his request to take the exams early.
Second.
Mr. Harris, can you clarify, is that the right motion for where he's at on the agenda?
Well, let me ask perhaps Veronica a question. So Veronica,
yes.
It sounds like Dr. King is just denying his ability to take the exam early as opposed to denying his application at this time.
Okay.
So if the motion passes, he'll just be given another opportunity, one appropriate, to take the exam, and then the application will come back before the board?
Well, I'm not sure if that's going to be possible because in his letter he says that this court date isn't until the middle of June, which he would have to be presented prior to the, because the next national is in July.
Right.
So we would have to present him prior to that.
But at least this gives him the ability to hear it prior to that. With Mr. Barton being present. And then board can then decide what, if anything, it wants to do, including denying the application.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
So are you okay with that, Dr. Cornwall, that at this point we're just denying his request to take the exam early?
Correct.
Okay.
Although there was a very first motion by Karen to deny the pending blank. That was the first motion, the initial motion.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo,
was
you
there
mind?
A second to that one?
I'll take that back if we need to. That's fine.
Okay. I have that. Dr. Bustillo did the first and Mr. Leone did the second to motion to deny application.
Correct.
Okay. I can remove my second as well.
Thank you. Would it be better to remove the vote, that first motion, or just vote on it and vote it down, and then move to the motion?
Great. What's question, the cleanest way? Yeah, Dr. King. I think as long as Dr. Bustillo and Mr. Leone okay withdrawing the motion, that would be sufficient.
Perfect. Thank you. It sounds like that was done then.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then perhaps Dr. Cornwall, you could restate your motion.
I move that we deny his Mr. Barton's request to take the NPTE and Arizona jurisprudence exam.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I just wanted to get clarification. So If this passes with denying him to take the exam early, the next opportunity is in July, you had said, Veronica?
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, so can we require that he, because if his court date's June 15th, typically the board meetings aren't until toward the end of the month, and we require that he appear at the June meeting to kind of state his case, and that way we can decide how to move forward with it?
I can do that.
And then just so you guys know, our last day to approve them is June 29th.
And the meeting's on June 28th, so that's perfect timing.
Okay.
So basically, he better make it there.
Basically. I mean, it is his livelihood, so I'm sure he will be there.
Yeah.
And I hope he's very prepared for that meeting.
Is that part of the motion to request that he return at the June meeting to discuss further, or is that just the next step after this motion to deny the request to complete the
I think it's just the next step, but I could be corrected. And you know, I don't know that we need to require him. I mean, he should be smart enough to see from today's activities that I better be here at the next one.
I'll recommend that he makes the next meeting for answer questions.
Yeah. And Dr. King, members of the board, maybe SAP would also suggest to him to listen to the audio recording of this discussion.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good idea, Mr. Harris. Any further discussion before we vote? Okay, then let's call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to deny Mr. Barton's request for early testing for the NPTE and AZLA. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. That is the end of the consent agenda. We'll move on to agenda item number 7. There are no informal hearings. 8, no reviews or rehearings. So agenda item number 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters, review consideration of action. So we have then initial reviews for a couple of therapists. Before we go into initial reviews, I'd like to just take a minute to kind of describe this initial review process for all of those in attendance and for the audio recording. Okay, so this is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of the complaints that was filed against Marquita Gilbert, 2134. For everyone's benefit, especially those attending for the first time, Dr. King and then the board chairperson, I'll now ask the board members to introduce themselves.
Dr. King,
board chair.
Dr. Bastillo.
Karen Bustillo, professional member, board vice president.
Mr. Leone.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, board secretary.
Mr. Cornwall. Dr. Cornwall.
Cornwall, professional member.
Let the record show that Mr. Barton and Mr. Greer, both public members, are absent from today's meeting. Dr. King.
Thank you. I wanted to see if Ms. Gilbert is present for the call. Marquita Gilbert?
I see her.
I see her on here.
But maybe she's muted.
Maybe you're muted.
Yes,
so we'll give you
muted.
A second to try to connect. Ms. Gilbert, do you mind trying to unmute yourself?
Hello, good morning. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. It's hard to get off mute. I get it.
Yeah. I was trying to connect. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So I want to just read a little summary about how these initial reviews go so that you have a good awareness of what we'll be doing and how it goes about. I also want to check to see if the complainant, Mr. or Mrs. Ray, are present.
Yeah, we're both here.
Okay.
Both there. Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. So please be aware as we move forward into the initial review that the board has read all of the materials submitted During the course of the review, if it is necessary to refer to patients, we will use the patient's initials only, and that is JW for the board's note. The board will first hear a brief summary of the case from its staff. Once the staff is done, the board will then ask the complainant if they wish to address the board, and then the professional member, if they then they will be given the same opportunity. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking do not take time repeating information that the board has already received. You will be given time to address the board equally to the time it took to present the investigative report. So, Ms. Makita, Gilbert, and Mr. and Mrs. Ray, a brief 2 to 5 minute summary as when your turn is announced. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or the place for complaints and the professionals to be addressing each other. The board has a civil policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy and after having been given the opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussions with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt that process, please. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking no disciplinary action, such as issuing an advisory letter or order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in formal hearing and remanding it to a formal hearing. So we'll move into the interview process now. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone that this proceeding is being tape recorded. Accordingly, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. So Ms. Richards, do you mind giving a brief summary of the case?
Thank you, Dr. King. The board opened complaint 2134 after receiving a complaint in the portal from the patient's father, Mr. Ray. Mr. Ray alleged that Ms. Gilbert was abusive and engaged in substandard care when she improperly managed his son, JW, during his drop seizure. In his statement, he states that Ms. Gilbert forcibly held JW's head after Mr. Ray asked her to stop multiple times. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Ray, would you like to give a brief statement and respond to the investigator's summary?
Yeah, I just want to bring up, kind of explain a little bit about Jax. He's 5 years old. I think he was 4 at the time. He is nonverbal. He cannot see. He is cortically visually impaired, which means that he's basically blind for all intents and purposes. And he's non-mobile. So you do have to kind of put him in safe positions. If you're not the one doing that, then he can definitely be in an unsafe position. Jax has been in front of many doctors, many therapists, many attendant care providers. He's had seizures in front of all of them. He has daily seizures, sometimes every half hour, sometimes every hour. He has them very regularly. That day when Makita came in, I do believe she came into my house feeling rushed because she got here 10 minutes late and she wanted to make sure that she did everything that she could that day. And so when Jax started having a seizure, as soon as she started therapy, keep in mind, this was the first time she ever met Jax. She had never met him before. This was the initial first meeting. Jax started having a seizure about 5 minutes into, I'm sorry, he's pretty vocal there, so I'm going to step away here. Jax started having a seizure about 5 minutes into her performing with him, and I kept trying to mention to her, you know, he's having drop seizures. He has clusters of seizures that can take up to 5 minutes, and I kept trying to mention, hey, like, he's having a seizure. She kept saying, you know, we understand. I know, but, you know, I'm gonna keep working with him. And I told her about 3 or 4 different times to when I finally said I grabbed him and put him in my lap, which is something I've never done during another therapy session. I've never felt the need to take him away from a therapist, but I did. And I thought that would be kind of my signal, like after saying, hey, stop messing with him. Now he's in my lap. I kind of thought that was like a pretty red flag, like she would take her hands for sure off of him at that point. She kept restricting his head movement at that point. And it was really causing the pain. My wife, he's nonverbal and he doesn't talk during his seizures. So even if he were to hit his head, like he's not going to make any crying noise. He's not going to make any pain until after that seizure is over. So someone who doesn't know him can't know that they're causing him pain in that moment. So that's why I was trying to tell her to please stop. I feel if my wife hadn't been here, it hadn't kind of came in from another room saying, hey, you need to stop touching him. He's asked you several times. That's the only time she stopped touching my son. So I feel like she never really truly listened to me. Again, it's the fact that he's not verbal and that we explained to her several times to just stop. But I've never had someone not listen to me about my child. And again, if any other situation where it wasn't a therapist, if someone's continuing to place hands on your child when you've asked them to stop, that is definitely abuse. And I feel that's what happened that day.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ray. At this time, as a board, I'm assuming that you're okay to answer questions from the board regarding your complaint?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Ray?
Mr. Ray, this is Karen Bustillo. How did you retain Ms. Gilbert's services?
We had been the provider for my son was CJPS, who she works for. Our physical therapist quit and went to a different agency. So they had found us her, and she was kind of, they told us she met what we were looking for Jax, and so CJPS had recommended her.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ray, how many other therapists work with your son right now?
Currently, we have a speech therapist and an occupational therapist, so two other therapies.
And has your son had seizures during their sessions?
Definitely. Our OT, Elena, she actually works for the same company, so she was very aware of everything that happened, the conversation. And she was actually appalled by what happened when we talked with her about it. She had said, you know, if you ever need me to say anything about how I am with Jax and his seizures, I'm happy to do that. Because she's been here, and as soon as we say something, her hands go, just like everybody else, her hands go away from Jax. They look at us and they look for our direction. And that's what every other therapist does.
Okay. Have you ever had this situation with any of the therapists where you needed to ask them to react or respond in a different way than they, like potentially their first time with them? How do you let them know what's the best way to react or respond to your son's seizures?
So typically when they starts happening, I'll mention that he's having a drop seizure and that he does need a minute. And that's what I explained to Makita, that he needed a minute. Because usually, and I'll start explaining it, because usually their hands will go off and they'll start paying a lot of attention to me. And I'll go into my explanation of saying, hey, yeah, just give him a minute. He's very good at keeping himself safe. He's aware that he's having the seizures. He'll keep his head in a safe position. I just like to kind of give him a minute. If for some reason he is hitting his head, then we might maybe move a pillow in his arms to help him from moving too far to the side. But we always just kind of like to take our hands off from him and kind of see what he's going to do. Because ever since he was 6 months old and he first started having seizures, he was always really good at protecting himself. And so we allow him the opportunity to do that unless it's not happening.
Thank you.
Mr. Ray, can you just describe what was happening at that moment when the seizure occurred? I mean, we've had the chance to review the documents that kind of explain it, but I think having a more verbal explanation might be helpful in terms of what you saw with hand positioning and things like that.
Yeah, so when she initially came in and started with him, I was actually very impressed with her. Jax usually isn't too happy with people laying hands on him, and he was really liking the stretches that she was doing. She was in the process. She had him on his stomach, and she was really stretching his hamstrings out. You could tell he was responding really well to it. When Jax starts having a seizure, one of the things that he does, like I said, he protects himself. So he knows if he's about to have one, he immediately gets into a sitting position. So if he's on his belly, if he's – you know, wherever he's at, he gets into a seated position because he has a seizure, which are called drop seizures. What you can picture is taking your head and trying to forcefully touch your feet with it, your body jackknifes into, you know, your head is basically bent over touching your feet. So if you're sitting down, like, it's just a very hard, aggressive jerk. So he knows when he's sitting down that he's in a good, safe position. So he immediately sat up, to which I said, hey, I think he's about to have a seizure. And Makita then grabs his arms, which I wasn't sure because I didn't know why she was deciding to place her hands on him. So she grabs his hands. Keep in mind, his head is in the process, like when he's going to have a cluster, it's going to shoot towards his feet. Well, she's got his hands by his side, by his sides of his head. So imagine like holding you up like a victory pose after you win a boxing match with both arms. And he has one and he jerks forward and his arms stay behind him. That's one of the first moment where I was like, okay, that's not okay. And I was like, he's having a seizure. I need you to please let go of him. Oh no, he's okay. He's okay. I'm going to work with him. And she had, at this point, she has one hand still restrained. And the other one he'd gotten loose from her. And so then again, I say, hey, like you need to give him a minute. At that point, she moved him onto his back. And then he had two seizures the same way from his back. So I could see while he's laying down, his head's just shooting up and his feet are shooting up and just like kind of trying to come to each other. And I'm watching that. And so at that moment, that's when I finally grab him, because there's no reason he should be on his back during a seizure while she's still holding his arms. And so I grab him, put him in my lap at that point. Once he's in my lap, she comes over, and at that point she starts putting her hand underneath his chin, and she takes her other hand and puts it against his ear. So she has two hands restraining any movement of his head. Now keep in mind, I said every time he has one of these drops, which they happen about every 15 to 30 seconds and they can last for about 5 minutes. Every time he's trying to drop his head forward, her hand's right there and I can see it moving his head to the side. And again, I'm like, can you please take your hands off of him? And she's during this whole time, she's telling me that, you know, she needs to be allowed to do her job, that I'm not allowing her to work with Jax, that she needs to be able to work with him, and which I completely agree with, except for during a seizure. Physical therapy needs to stop during a seizure. It needs to be, we can get back and going after the seizure's over, but physical therapy should never happen during a seizure. And so that continued happening where she had him. And that's when my wife, who was in another room, it's a big open room, so technically the same big room, but she was in a kitchen, we were in the living room, and my wife comes in and she goes, you need to get your hands off of him. You're hurting him. And that's when finally Makita finally stood up, removed her hands from Jax, and then said, clearly, you guys aren't going to allow me to do my job while I'm here. And then requested to leave and not be our physical therapist anymore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Ray right now? Thank you. Okay. All right. So, Dr. Gilbert, would you like to make an opening statement?
I just per my response letter, that's pretty much all I have to say, unless the board has any questions for me.
Yes, are you willing? You're open to answering questions from the board?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, board members, any questions at all for Dr. Gilbert?
Yeah, Dr. Gilbert, I have kind of a similar question of what I just asked Mr. Ray. If you can kind of give an explanation of what was your mindset when you saw JW go into the seizure. What was your hand placement on him, from what you recall, and what was the purpose of your hand placement, wherever it was?
Yeah. So, initially, when I came in and I started working with Jax, he was in a good mood. I just was kind of bonding with him and the parents and just kind of chatting with them, getting to know more about JW. And I'm sitting on the floor and JW, I went through all my leg stretches at that point. He's sitting up in front of me. His back is kind of leaning up against my torso. And I'm just working on toys, you know, interaction, getting him to do some reaching and stuff like that. So his face wasn't really initially facing me. And Mr. Ray was sitting on the couch right in front of us. He could see Jax's face, I guess. I was talking to him, so I looked at his face and looked perturbed, and then And I was like, what's, you know, something wrong? And he's like, oh, I think he's going to have a seizure. I was like, oh, okay. So I turned JW sideways to kind of observe in that moment. And I just leaned him back on my arm. We were both still on the floor. Mr. Ray is still on the couch. And so I'm just observing and assessing at this time, but I wasn't noticing any seizures at this point. And at that moment, that's when Mr. Ray flew from off of the couch and just pulled JW out of my arms and sat him back up in the very same position that I had initially had him before I started observing for the seizures. And at this time, I just sat and I was watching, because now JW is facing me and Dad is behind him in the very same position that I was, but more like crouched down just with one hand on his back. So in my assessment, that's when I started to notice and see the drop seizures for myself. And at this point, JW's head, because the drop seizures does cause, you know, a lot of flaccidity to, you know, in the forward trunk lean. He was doing that where it was almost to the floor. So I just kind of took to her. I said, you know, Mr. Ray, you might want to, just for airway clearance, you know, to protect, lean him back, not just let him drop forward. So I just took two hands to like go under his chin to like kind of guide as I'm telling Mr. Ray. And he's like, no, just give him a minute. And I said, okay. And then all of a sudden it's just total erratic behavior. Just, you're unprofessional. Get your hands off of my son. So I slid back at that very moment. And, I just stood there and he was like, get your supervisor on the phone. So I just started calling my supervisor immediately, but I didn't get anyone at that time. Kept calling. At this time, he's still kind of on the floor with Jax and mom is in the kitchen. And I, you know, my attention is like, okay, she's slamming cupboards and stuff like that. So she comes and they switch position. And at that time, I'm standing up trying to call my supervisor and Mr. Ray gets on the phone at that time with someone. And mom is on the floor just rocking Jax back and forth in her arms in a cradling position. And she was talking, but he was also talking on the phone. So I couldn't really, you know, just kind of identify any or isolate who was saying what at that time because it just kind of went haywire. So I just stood there and waited. I kept trying to call my supervisor. No one got on the phone. And then Mr. Ray, I guess he got someone on the phone, which was Patricia Verrill, who's our HR, head of HR. And he started telling her, oh, I'm unprofessional and all this stuff on the phone. So I just stood there. I just stood there and waited to see if, you know, maybe whoever was on the phone at the time, I didn't know it was Patricia Verrill. I was just trying to see if he would calm down, we could regroup. And in that moment of me waiting, Mrs. Ray kind of disappears up the staircase with the two kids and Jackson hand. And I just stood and waited again. And Mr. Ray at that time, whoever he was on the phone with, he just said, I want you to leave my house. So I headed to the door and left. And
thank you. I have a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. This is Dr. King.
Sure.
Can you tell us how long you've been treating pediatrics?
So I had a clinical rotation when I was in PT school, but I've always worked outpatient and I've treated mostly, you know, developmental issues with pediatrics in outpatient setting mostly. CJPS, I just started with them in October of last year. I've also done home care in New York and in an outpatient setting. So I have some experience with pediatrics, but CJPS is the first like solely all pediatrics company that I worked for.
How many years ago?
I graduated in 2012. So I've been treating since 2013 and I just moved out here to Arizona for a job. Yeah. From New York.
So just to clarify what you had said, you had some pediatric experience, but this is your first job.
Like home care pediatric, yes.
Home care,
and, yeah, pediatric. Just all pediatrics. Most of the cases I've dealt with have been mostly outpatient, where, you know, peds would trickle in here and there anywhere from 18 months to 17 of age. Okay. Yeah.
So outpatient therapy with an occasional pediatric patient.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this type of seizure disorder? And
Yes, ma'am, I am. I probably saw one years ago and didn't really, you know, but I was familiar with drop seizures.
Okay. And tell me, so you might have seen one years ago. So what, tell me a little bit more about your familiarity with
from what I know and just job experiences or mostly from school, I've heard of drop seizures, and it's just, you know, the patient can become really limp and, you know, a lot of excessive forward trunk lean, that kind of muscles just go really flaccid. But that's beyond that. Yeah. And they can happen like pretty quickly. It depends on the case.
Okay. Before you got to the patient's home, had you were you there to do an initial evaluation or had you read the
evaluation? No, I was just asked to fill in I picked up Mr. Ray's case as a courtesy to the company because I was already swamped with kids, and my supervisor Melissa, she basically is like, Makeda, can you take this pace, we really need someone to get in because we have a shortage of therapists out here in Tucson. So I said, this is, you know, it was really out of my way or my area that I covered, but I accommodated Mr. Ray and I got in touch with him. This was maybe 2 weeks prior to the initial visit. And immediately that phone call, he just immediately started yelling at me. I guess he might've been upset that he hadn't been seen, that the therapist hadn't come in. So I said, you know, I understand your concern. I'm trying to accommodate the situation and come in and see if we can provide therapy for your son. And he was like, I want to speak to your supervisor. And I was like, okay, no problem. So I gave him my supervisor's information on that call and tried to get him scheduled to accommodate my schedule as well so that I could make it out there to him, which that was a little bit tough to do, but we eventually got it. Got a date and time that worked for him.
Thank you. Can you tell me a little bit about how reviewing his evaluation, his current treatment plan, and his plan of care? What were you aware of? What did you go into the home knowing about this patient?
So I just knew that Jax has a flaccid spasm disorder, according to his ISP, and that, you know, he was in home with mom. Things like that.
What was the plan of care or the goals that you were working on for him?
So just more trunk control, sitting support, just strengthening for the time being, motor control and planning and things like that. Initially, I just, on the first visit, I wanted to get to know him through the parents and also just from seeing him and, you know, working with JW.
So one other question then regarding that, you said you wanted to get to know him, get to know the parents. So it sounds like he's been having seizures since he was 6 months old. He's now 5.
Yes.
I'm just curious what your thought process was that when the parent let you know he was having a seizure, knowing him as well as they do and how those look, at what point did you feel like you needed to make a clinical decision to do something different than what the parent was asking you to do?
Well, I don't think I did anything differently from what Mr. Ray was asking me to do. I was basically trying to assess, was he having a seizure in that moment? Because he wasn't facing me. So in the assessment, when I turned him sideways, just to kind of view, well, was he really having a seizure? Because from what I felt and saw sitting working with Jax, I didn't really see those signs. So it wasn't until Mr. Ray took him out of my arms and sat him up and I was just looking. That's when I noticed, okay, yeah, this is a drop seizure. And he had maybe about two that I could see in the time. So it was after the second one that I saw, I said, you know, you might want to just, I was trying to educate and say, you know, let's get him maybe laying back or, you know, just airway control. It was my main concern. And
so just to clarify what you were saying, the parent let you know the patient was about to have a seizure or was having a seizure, and you felt like you needed to assess whether or not that was actually happening.
Yes, because the patient was turned away from me. So, and initially my hands were on his pelvis, so I didn't feel or see any forward excessive head movements or anything that alarmed me to say, okay, yes, the seizure's going on, when I turned him to assess that. Because Mr. Ray just looks very concerned, and I tried to, you know, watch body language and faces, and just to see it from the parents and the patient as well.
Mr. Ray, you do have your hand up. I see that. If you want to address a question to the board, that's fine, but not to Dr. Gilbert. Did you have a question for the board?
I'm just curious if you guys are able to look up any of Jax's ISP, as was mentioned. I've never heard the term flaccid seizures mentioned at any point in time with a doctor, with an ISP, with any therapist. That's not a phrase that's ever came out of my mouth, my wife's mouth, or a doctor's mouth. So I'm not sure if that is in his file. I've never seen it, but I don't believe that to be the case. I did want to just speak to one thing on the frustration of me asking for a supervisor, if that's okay, just because I got brought up and I felt that was on my character. But if not, I don't need to. It's okay. But basically, I was only frustrated with her because she was refusing me a supervisor. I only wanted to speak with a supervisor because we were giving one time for Jack staff therapy. We actually had to move another therapy for that to work. And I only wanted to speak with someone about why that was the case. She told me four times that I was speaking to her and she was the right one to speak to. On the fourth time, I was a little frustrated. And then she's like, oh yeah, no, you need to speak with my supervisor. She handles that. So that was maybe frustration on my part, but only for asking four times.
Thank you. Dr. Gilbert, do you know where in his documentation that you saw a diagnosis of flaccid seizures? I'm not seeing it in any of the documents that I've been presented, so I'm just curious.
It was in the beginning of his ISP. I'm trying to see if I can pull it.
I've been in pediatrics for a really long time. I've actually never heard the diagnosis flaccid seizures. So I'm just curious where that might have potentially come from.
It didn't say flat. It was like flaccid spasms or muscle spasms. That was a sentence in his ISP. It didn't elaborate too much beyond that, if I recall.
Dr. King, this is Dr. Cornwall. Given this is an initial, we're trying to decide what to do with this case and not adjudicate the case per se. I think I've got enough information to make a motion, and I move that we move this to an informal hearing. If there's anything else that we need to have investigated, we ought to identify that. But it sounds like the investigation is complete. But an informal hearing will give an opportunity for both cases to see everything that we would see, I think that would be a much fairer process. So I move to an informal hearing.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's take a vote.
Judy, you're muted.
My apologies. It's been moved and seconded to move case 2134 Makeda Gilbert PT to an informal hearing. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay. Ms. Gilbert and Mr. Ray, staff will meet, reach out to you with additional instructions and information.
Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have an initial review for case 2207, Cheryl Smith. Is Cheryl Smith present?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, this is initial review. Mindy, would you like to give us a brief review?
Of course. Ms. Smith was charged with DUI on January 2nd of 2020 while residing in Missouri. She was actively licensed in Arizona at the time of her arrest and failed to report her charges to the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy at that time. On January 25th of 2022, the board met in open session regarding the consideration of opening a complaint. Following deliberation, the board voted to open a complaint for failure to notify the board in a timely manner. I will also note that Ms. Smith was not and has not been practicing in Arizona since the date of the DUI, January 2nd, 2020. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Smith, do you have anything you'd like to say to the board?
I know when you mentioned in making a statement not to review any of the information you already have, and I feel like I would just be kind of reiterating some major points that I feel you probably have already reviewed thoroughly, so I don't want to disrespect your time on that.
Thank you. I'm assuming you're okay to answer questions from the board, should there be any?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great, thank you. Members of the board, do you have any questions for Dr. Smith?
I don't have any questions per se. I think that it's, to me, it's relatively straightforward. I'd be willing to make a motion at this point to offer her a consent agreement, which would include taking and passing the jurisprudence exam and a $200 fine. The reason for this is that she holds a license in Arizona, although she's not practicing, and I'm concerned that she's not being mindful of what her requirements are because she holds an Arizona license. She mentions that she would like to move here at some point. And I think that taking the jurisprudence exam would update her information, and the $200 fine kind of makes the point is that it's important that you do whatever you need to do for every license that you hold.
Is there a second for Dr. Cornwall's motion?
I'll second it. Oh.
Think you beat me.
And so for me, just to clarify, if your recommendation for a consent agreement, including the jurisprudence, is a disciplinary action. Are you hoping for disciplinary action for her? Because we can't do the jurisprudence if it's non-disciplinary. We can do right. CEUs, but no jurisprudence.
I think it is disciplinary only because, you know, I don't think the facts are in question, but she didn't report. She should have reported. And I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make it so it's not disciplinary.
I don't know if I may speak to that. And I 100% agree. This was my responsibility to be aware of the licensing. And I've held this license because I do want to come back to Tucson and have an opportunity for a job offer there sooner than even I had expressed to the board. And I'd be happy to take the jurisprudence. I don't know if I can just offer to do that without it being disciplinary. It was at a time where I was working and practicing in Missouri, and I was literally, as I was being arrested, I didn't even really realize, there was a point where I was like, oh, I think I'm being arrested. And my first thing I was doing was Googling my Missouri PT license. And had I been practicing in Arizona, that would have been my first call. So I called the Missouri board the next day and handled everything. And so I understand it was a little bit out of sight, out of mind. And again, holding a license for my professional association is highly important to me. So I totally understand what you're saying. And none of this will happen again. And there will never be another DUI. There will never be another incident like this. And I'm happy to handle it in any way possible. I don't know exactly what disciplinary action means or if that's public or how that will handle or affect me being hired and things like that. So I guess that's more a question than a statement.
I think for me, thank you, Dr. Smith. For me, as reading her email and reading the documents, it was very confusing for me whether she was charged, wasn't charged. There were some outcomes, of course, and she's got a court date, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm super comfortable for myself with there being a disciplinary action from this. So I'm really on the fence about that. That's something that'll stay with her for her entirety. And so it doesn't look as clear in the things. I read the court documents. I read the things. It seems very confusing for me whether or not if I were to receive that, I'm not sure I would know exactly what my status was.
And Dr. King, I haven't been charged yet. And because of COVID, literally March 8th was the first day that the courts were allowed here to see in-person cases. And so my attorney attended that, and they're still awaiting a recommendation from the state, but said it would likely be what's called a suspended imposition of sentence. And so what happens there is you're agreeing to the charge and that you're agreeing not to get another DWI in 2 years, which I promise you will not happen. And that can fall off your record in 2 years as far as employment, licensing, things like that. But if I were to be pulled over again or arrested for it again, I would be charged as if it was a second one. And so it's been 2 years since then. I haven't had so much as a parking ticket. This was really, it was just like anything. Like you go out to dinner, you have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine. I don't take a sip of alcohol before I drive a car at this point. I didn't realize that I purposely will only have a glass of wine or only have, my friend and I split a beer that night. There were just other circumstances, and it was a crazy situation. I didn't realize how much so little can affect those tests. If I'm going to a wedding or a benefit or anything, and if I'm driving, not one sip of alcohol. So it has affected my life in so many ways.
You're still waiting to hear whether you're actually going to be charged. Is there a potential that there aren't any charges?
That there is a potential, yes. Unless I get another DUI.
But, great.
Yeah. But I don't, there's no risk at all of that.
What is the timeline currently for where you hear whether there is a charge or not a charge?
That's a great question. It's been so drawn out. There haven't been any cases heard here in St. Louis since COVID. And so they're really backlogged. And so it's kind of put my life on hold as far as that goes too. And as y'all know, I have an opportunity to move out there this summer for a job. And in that case, I'm in St. Louis. I need to sell my house now before interest rates and things go up to be able to afford a house out there. But so that's kind of the situation, which feels a little rushed. But I also understand that you may need more information.
I have kind of a similar mindset, Dr. King, where with things up in the air, I don't necessarily feel comfortable giving a disciplinary action for this. But I'd also like to know kind of how things, finalize with the situation as well. I'm not sure if there's a motion we can make to do that, you know, to revisit it down the road, or how that would work, though, just especially with there not being a specific time frame here.
We have a motion and a second on the table. So is there any more discussion or concern? I'd like to go ahead and take a vote, and then we'll see where we go from there. I'm with you, Giovanni.
Can Kelly, let's make I'll withdraw my motion simply because she hasn't actually been charged yet. And so if she's not charged, everything goes away. If she is charged, she's going to have to notify us within 10 days, mm-hmm. and then we'll deal with it.
Thank you, Dr. Cornwall. Dr. Bustillo, are you okay withdrawing your second?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Dr. King, members of the board, you may want to consider going into executive session for legal advice.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Oh, Judy, you're muted, friend.
I've got to stop pushing that button. My apologies. It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Motion passes. All members will exit this meeting and join an executive session. For those in observance of the meeting today, we will return to this meeting. The recording will stop at 10:35 a.m.